Hello, everyone. We're glad to be with you again. This is Nan Walden, and Mr. John Walden, Sr. is here to give you Bible answers to any questions you may have concerning the Bible, or your Christian life, or just any spiritual need you may have. Please drop us a card in care of this station, and wait patiently until Mr. Walden can get to your question. If you prefer that your question be answered privately, enclose a self-addressed envelope, and your problem will be held in strict confidence. Now, today, Mr. Walden, our first question is, if a Christian can't be lost, what does 2 Peter 2:22 mean?
Well, let's read 2 Peter 2:22. The chapter begins with this statement, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways." And so he proceeds all through this chapter to warn us against the false teachers who will mislead people. And then he closes the chapter by saying, "It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Now this is a quotation from the 26th chapter of Proverbs. "The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed for her wallowing in the mire." And our questioner wants to know, how can we explain this if it doesn't mean that a Christian can be lost again? Well, I know that it doesn't mean that a Christian can be lost again because our Savior plainly told us that it can't be. There are too many passages in the New Testament which cannot be explained if we believe that a soul can be lost who is truly born again. Mind you, I'm not talking about church members turning back to the ways of sin. I'm not talking about people who had a profession of being Christians. I'm talking about those who were truly born into God's family. The New Testament plainly tells us that such will never be lost again. In fact, our Savior made it so strong, he said, "No man is able to pluck them out of my hand," and then he said, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And there's no use for you to say, "Well, you can pluck yourself out," because he says no one can, and you certainly, an individual, a person, yourself. Then what does this passage mean? Well, first of all, he's talking about dogs and sows. Do you know any place in the Bible that a Christian is ever called a dog or a sow? We're told about Gentile dogs, but we're not told anything about Christian dogs. The Lord plainly says, without our dogs, I'll tell you what we are called. We're called sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now, the thing you'll have to settle is, are you a sheep or a dog? The dog was an unclean animal, and in Bible times, usually the dog was a wild animal and an outcast, an animal that roamed the fields, a predatory animal. There were a few dogs kept as pets, but ordinarily a dog was a wild and an unclean animal, while a sheep is a clean animal. The Lord Jesus came and died for us, that we who were like sheep going astray might be returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And we as Christians can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he goes on to say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of my life, all the days of our life." And then the psalmist says, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And only because the Lord Jesus loved us and gave himself for us, only because he paid the debt, only because he purchased salvation for us can we be this certain.
Well, this is a, a timely question, surely a thing that we face today. We are warned about false teachers. How can we tell the false from the true?
Well, we are warned about false teachers, even in the Sermon on the Mount. Our Savior said something about this. It's a little strange that everyone seems to know Matthew 7 and 1, judge not that ye be not judged. But so few seem to realize that the 15th verse of that same chapter says, beware of false prophets. Now they say judging means that you mustn't say that this person is teaching something false, or you mustn't say that that person is not teaching the truth. That isn't what he's talking about at all. Judge not that you be not judged means don't sit on the judgment seat to pass final judgment on anybody. That's not our job. But we certainly ought to have sense enough to know right from wrong, true from false. And if we can't discern, then why did the Lord say, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. So the fruits, then, form the basis of our knowing. I think perhaps this passage in 1 John 4 will help you more than any other. Beloved, believe not every spirit. That's 1 John, not St. John, but 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But you say they all confess that, don't they? No, they don't. The Revised Version reads like this. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ come in flesh. What does that mean? Well, Jesus, the Christ, tells us that of his title, tells us who he is, tells us that he is God the Son, come down to this world. Come in flesh means that he was incarnated, that he is God living in flesh, in human form. Now, you did not come in flesh. I did not come in flesh. I was simply born a human being. That's all. But this is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. So the first test is, what do they say about the Lord Jesus himself? What think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. Then the second test is given in verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Now I have no right to apply this sixth verse to myself. And I don't believe that any group of Christians today can apply this to themselves. I believe that the apostle is speaking for the apostles, those who were used of God to give us the word of God. And so we would say today, he that knoweth God hears God's word. That's stated in another place. He that is of God heareth God's word. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the second test is, what do they say about the word of God? Now, a person who rejects the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, who does not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, come in flesh in order to be our Redeemer, and who does not receive the Bible as the Word of God, is a false teacher. It doesn't matter if he is paid to be a minister. It doesn't matter who he is. I don't want to destroy anybody's confidence in any godly servant of the Lord. But not all who profess to be are really teaching the truth.
Thank you. This question says, do you believe in good works? I'm sure you do. Now, will you please tell this questioner why?
Well, I think maybe someone asks that because they hear me say that we are not saved by works. I certainly do believe in good works, and if my wife and I did not believe in good works, we would not have spent the last 25 years of our life trying to take care of homeless children, and we wouldn't be doing this right now. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now that's plain enough. We are not saved by what we do. It is a gift, and a gift cannot be bought or earned. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. But the next verse says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I certainly do believe in good works. I believe, however, that they ought to be kept in their right place. We do not do good works in order to get eternal life or in order to go to heaven. We do good works because we are saved, to show our thankfulness to the Lord and to prove to others that we do belong to Him. "I dare not work my soul to save. That work my Lord has done. But I would work like any slave for love to God's dear Son." If you really love the Lord Jesus, I'm sure that you will want to do anything you can to please Him.
Well, our time has gone by too quickly again.